American songwriter, my brother-in-law Sean Olbs of the Eiffels was able to talk to Max of Inspired in the Sleep over Zoom video. Max tells us about growing up in San Diego, where myself and my brother-in-law are originally from, talks about moving to Los Angeles, the formation of Inspired in the Sleep, and how they always consist of a revolving lineup of additional people in the band. He also tells us about Inspired in the Sleep's brand new EP, Reimagine, which features a handful of revamped and recreated versions of a few songs off their self-titled LP. You can watch the interview with my brother-in-law, Sean Olbs of the Eiffels, and Max from Inspired in the Sleep on our Facebook page and YouTube channel, at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter, at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Inspired and the Sleep.
All right, we got Max Green from Inspired in the Sleep here today. What's going on, brother?
How are we doing?
I'm great, man. So just so everybody knows, we're kind of buds. We both grew up in San Diego, but didn't really meet until you moved to Los Angeles a few years back through some mutual friends. I love
when I meet people from my hometown, but like in a different city, and it's a whole lot.
Yeah, totally. And you and I just paddled out doing a little surfing a couple of weeks ago. And I was talking to you about the podcast and you were like, hey, let me jump on the podcast. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. Let's talk. So I'm really interested because you actually were telling me about some projects that you're doing along with Inspired in the Sleep. So we get to talk about all of the stuff you've been up to. But before we do, why don't we take it all the way back? And why don't you just tell us about how you got into music to begin with?
That's a great question. I think for me, the band thing was very much like how it all got started. Bass is my first instrument, but before I picked that up, I remember like my neighbor's metal band would be practicing. It's like high school metal band would be practicing in the garage. Mm-hmm. And I was 14 or something. And I would like go over there and just hang out outside of the garage and like listen and be like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And middle school, I started playing bass and I started doing lessons and stuff like that and getting into it. And then, at the beginning of high school, I started doing band stuff. And from there, it kind of took off and then it just became my thing. And then songwriting kind of came from that. I had a high school band called Tan Sister Radio. And learned a lot about just like the whole band world and then songwriting as well. And it just progressed into all these different things. It's wild. It's like, I moved to LA like almost 4 years ago. And when I did, I got open to all these different worlds of music.
Yeah.
And that I didn't really, in being in San Diego, I didn't really know existed so much.
Right.
And, you know, I'm meeting all these different people and these different facets, and some of them are just producers. Some of them are just like shredding, touring musicians. And it was really cool. And I think for me personally, I kind of just like spread out and, tried everything and got into all these different things. And I still do. And I still do a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, producing has been a big thing that I've gotten into. And that all started with Inspired. And then songwriting's been huge and getting into Top Lines no live music so for this year at least.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that'll pick up next year.
So how old did you say you were when you said you heard your neighbor's band? How old were you when you heard it, when you were kind of like pressing your ear against the garage or whatever?
I think I had to be like 13 or 14.
Okay. And his it was like a high school band of your neighbors.
Yeah, they were called Keeper.
Nice. Keeper
was their name. One of my best friends, Ryan Mack, played drums. He was my neighbor. And we ended up starting a band right when we were like 21, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fun, like.
You were like, oh, I get to play with my hero. You know?
Yeah,
that's I remember just being in high school and, you know, getting like my first like half stack amp or something like that. And it's just like,
oh, yeah.
And it's still every now and then, if I haven't like got in a room and like and played like with a loud amp, it's like electric, you know, or just like walking through those rehearsal studios for the like some of the first times. It's just like, you know, it gives you goosebumps hearing like a good like band behind the room.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And they're like it. I just it seemed like the coolest thing in the world to me. And as a kid, I was like, yes, like this is it. You know, I was like pretty angsty, but it didn't really know where to focus my angst or whatever, but once the like band thing came along, and I was like, what, I don't need to go to college, just like I can do tours, and you know, like that's it, let's do this.
Totally. I interviewed an artist a few days ago, and they had a great quote, and it's like a childlike quote, but it was like music is the closest thing we have to magic. And I was just like, it's so, you know, it's such a childlike thing to say, but it's so true. I feel like if you really love music, you can continue to feel that way.
Yeah, oh for sure. And I think what it's transitioned to for me is the same way. It's like I'm always looking for that magic, you know. It's so, and you never know when it's gonna hit, you know. So, and in what way, you know. But
so were you playing bass kind of early on, or how long did it take you to start picking up other instruments? Because I've seen you play piano, and you're a great pianist. So
that kind of was like a natural progression. The piano thing is like, I wouldn't consider myself like a pianist in comparison to the people that I know that like play keyboard and stuff, and you know, are just insane. For me, piano was always a means of like songwriting and a tool for songwriting, and you know, all the notes are like right in front of you. And so to me, it's just like the most accessible thing for that world. But I went through tons of phases. Like I think towards the end of high school, I was like bought a mandolin off of eBay and like never learned to like, properly play mandolin, but I learned some chords and, you know, and this is like kind of the start of Inspired, as I was like started really recording, and it started on like cassette, 4-track. And that kind of transitioned to me learning all these random different instruments. And like, you know, I had all these phases. I had a ukulele phase. I had a flute phase. But keyboard was always there, because keyboard was always like, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I had all these little Casio keyboards and would mess around with them. But like bass and keyboards and vocals are, you know, in a band sense, usually what I'm doing, because I just have the most experience with them. I started doing like these like winery tours too on
TV,
where I would go up to like Paso Robles and play like the winery circuit, which is super fun. I had a great time, and that kind of helped my chops a bunch, because I was playing these like 3-4 hour sets. So.
Yeah, three. I mean, that's a long set. I mean, so I know you're being modest, being like, well, I've seen great pianists. And of course, that's true. But being able to perform and sing, you know, as a solo artist, like you do from time to time, is, you know, you are a pianist. You know, you're playing the piano and you're singing at shows. People are paying to be there, or paying to be what, you know, you're being paid to be there. The winery thing sounds like a fun gig. So are you playing 3-4 hours of your own music? Are you mixing covers in? Cause that's a long set.
It was a lot of covers, but I would mix my own stuff in. It was just like a really fun thing to do. I have some family up there, and I think it's actually started with weddings. I did a couple wedding gigs, you know. I was just kind of like trying to pay rent in LA, and linked up with some like wedding events company. And
nice.
Was playing weddings, and like one of the first ones, they're like, yeah, you have to get like 2.5 hours of music ready. And I was like, oh, I've never done one of these before. And so I did. And then I was like, well, I have all this kind of music prepared. Like, let's do like a little winery run. And I'm a huge wine drinker. And, you know, they're usually like, you show up, they're like, what do you want?
That's awesome.
Wine and play music. And it's all like, I do a lot of soul covers there too, of just music that I like grew up loving, like just like Al Green stuff and Sam Cooke and some Jeff Buckley. And like, so that kind of brought me back to my roots as like a songwriter too, because I got to like really go back and pick and choose these songs that I wanted to perform that were like the epitome of what started me off on songwriting as well.
Right. So you had some bands in high school, and then when does Inspired in the Sleep come along?
Yeah, so I think the recording thing was a big part of how it started. So like I was saying, I had this little like 4-track cassette recorder, and I was doing stuff like I was making these little songs and stuff like that for a while. And so I like to think that is like the start of Inspired in the Sleep, because the thing about Inspired is it's always been like a recording project first, and then we like I'll craft these songs, and then I'll get the guys together and say like, how can we pull this off live? And so it's kind of this like two-faceted thing. And Bryce, the guitarist, multi-instrumentalist in the band, he and I had like a thing in high school called BNME. Mm-hmm. Back in the MySpace days, was the Bryce and Max Experience.
Nice.
So we would just make these little songs, and like that was like some of the earliest. It's funny to I recently heard some of them again, and it's like that's like some of the earliest music I ever recorded.
Right.
So I would say kind of that's like the start of like just diving into recording would be the start of Inspired, because it's in a lot of ways even today it's the same. It's like I just go crazy in the studio, and then like let's take this to the stage. I tend to, coming from the band world, I always do, whenever I produce, a lot of times I do tend to write for with like a live band in mind.
So you and Bryce have been doing this for a while, kind of just buds in high school recording. Yeah. and it's continued since then. You guys have got some great attention in the hometown of San Diego. You guys were featured as 91X's artist of the month, or our local artist of the month, or something like that.
A local break.
Right. The local break by our bud Tim Piles, one of the best to ever do it.
Tim.
Shout out Tim Piles, 91X. And you guys also opened for Switchfoot, which is a huge San Diego band. How was that?
Yeah, we did it. We did a couple of those. And that was kind of through 91X. Like Tim always been a huge supporter, and I see him everywhere too. Like, you know, especially back when I used to like go out to shows in San Diego, and he's got a
shaved head cut off. Right.
Yeah. He's got a look, you know, you can pick him out of a festival anywhere. And, so he's, you know, like, and he's always been a supporter and like played our stuff on 91X. And, I think we put out that song First Time, and which is on our self-titled that came out earlier this year. And 91X just loved it. And they're like, well, let's do this like local break thing. And then they also were like, we're going to submit this off to Switchfoot for the Bro-Am, which was a festival. And then we got it. We got the opening slot and opened up for Sure Colony House and Switchfoot, and so much fun, super fun. Like bro, it's like this like surf competition on the beach, and it's like super good vibes and very like, you know, environment friendly, conscious, and like big community kind of thing, I think, for San Diego. So we got picked for that, and then I think about a month later they were like, hey, do you want to come back and play the racetracks with us? This was right around when Switchfoot was putting out their record too.
That's like San Diego County Fair show. That was a San Diego County Fair.
Yeah,
Right. Nice. That sounds like a blast.
It was one of the racetrack shows. So like the Del Mar Fair, I think, was either over, hadn't started yet, I forget, but it was a blast. So much fun.
Yeah. And so you guys recently dropped your LP. Tell us a little bit about the LP before you tell us about what you recently did with the LP.
Yeah. We put out like a self-titled record, and we started kind of releasing songs for this like about 2 years ago. And for me, a lot of it is like this transition to when I relocated from San Diego to LA. And so a lot of these songs were, a couple of them were started right before I moved, and then the rest of the record was finished like in my first year of living in a new city, which is like a total transition for me. Born and raised in San Diego and in North County, which is, you know, a lot different than the city. And it's been great. There's I got really into sampling. That became a big part of the project, and we do a lot of live sampling now. And It's just kind of feels like it felt like this collection of work. It wasn't all recorded like in 1 month or whatever, you know, it was over the course of about a year, year and a half, maybe, that it was all recorded, but it feels like this time capsule of time in my life. So it made sense at the beginning of this year. We wanted to put it out, and we teamed up with the Vinyl Moon, amazing like label out of Boyle Heights that also that does like the, they have their label portion, and they also do like a subscription service, like vinyl playlist that they send out every month. And we got featured on that like a few years back.
Nice.
And such good guys over there. And they were like, have always been a supporter of Inspired stuff. So it just made a lot of sense. So we did a run of these vinyl, and they look gorgeous. They're like transparent with blue and black splatter and white and blue marble. And so we got those all printed up, and the label is still selling them on their site. It's on the Vinyl Moon site. So you can do like online orders there. And then when we start touring, we'll tour on it and sell some. Hopefully we'll see when that happens, but.
That's cool. Multicolored. It's like you got like an Apple product type thing going on. You know, you can get any color you want for the vinyl.
Yeah. It's we got three different variants. And I mean, that was all like Vinyl Moon. Like, they are just such pros, and I got to like have the creative fun to like pick like, okay, these are the colors, and then putting the actual artwork together and getting it placed and formatted for a vinyl case was like amazing. Whole experience is awesome. And I'm super proud of them. So
cool. So tell us a little bit about Inspired and the Sleeps, you know, sound. And also, I'm curious where you guys got the name. I've never asked you. So maybe tell us where you got the name, and then maybe a little bit about the sound. Cause the sound is, it's, you know, it is indie pop, but it's got like this, you know, your voice and the instrumentation is kind of like a soothing, gentle, you know, sheen on top of indie pop music. I feel like, you know, it's like indie pop music to, it's like a lullaby almost, you know. do you ever feel like you're kind of crooning to somebody when you're singing?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing, one concept in general is just that like me and writing music and stuff like that tends to like really calm me down and balance out. And it's definitely like, regardless of where I'm performing it or what I'm doing with it, the creation of music has like been very therapeutic. So I've noticed like listening back that even though I wouldn't consider myself the calmest person in general, my personality, it has really, the music's really calm, and we're really going for this like very like subdued, like calming aesthetic. And that's not even that intentional. It's just like what ended up happening and what was natural. But Inspired in the Sleep, the name itself kind of stands for like balance. And it was like an early concept I kind of made up. It used to be Inspired by the Sleep. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of mine, or our old drummer, he was like, why don't we switch it up and like do something like one of those like old classic bands where it's like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Uh-huh. So we took out By The and we did. So it's Inspired and the Sleep. And for me, the Inspired portion kind of, so it's like this balance thing. So Inspired represents like energy, inspiration, but also on like the negative end, it could, you know, represent like anxiety or like, you know, stress. And then sleep on the other hand is like this like tranquil, like tranquility and calm and content. But also it could be, you know, like depression or lack of motivation and stuff. So I think I just kind of noticed some like patterns in my brain and my habits early on when I was songwriting, and then I kind of like that as a concept for the name, and so Inspired in the Sleep is what it came up to be.
Cool. Yeah, so both, it's not only that there's a dichotomy between inspiration and sleep, but also each one of those terms kind of have dichotomies to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so and it's and for me personally, I've always been like, trying to find that balance, that good like middle ground of the positives of both of those sides. And so yeah, I think it's about like striving for a balance in essence, I would say.
So tell us about Reimagine, because you guys just put this out on Friday, and this is the self-titled LP that you guys released, but you kind of recreated versions of a few of the songs, kind of like a wintry, semi-acoustic vibe. So what made you want to do that, and tell us a little bit about the process and how that turned out?
It was just a concept I had. And I was with like a producer, mix engineer friend of mine, just talking about like, you know, what I wanted to do and what I was having frustrations with, like in songwriting, what I thought. And one of the things he said, he's like, you should do something more like stripped down and more like, and I was like thinking like, man, I've never really done that. Like we've always done these like huge songs, or maybe they start out subdued and then they end up as these like big huge choruses and stuff like that. So and the funny thing is I set out to do this like stripped down thing, and it still ends up getting pretty crazy, and we have some pretty wild choruses in the EP. But the idea was I wanted like really organic sounding production, and going back to me as a piano player, a lot of it is based around these like arrangements for these piano versions I started doing of those songs. So like at those winery tours and stuff like that, I would play these songs off our LP in like a piano style. And I kind of just made up these a new way to kind of feel it out. And then, and so I wrote and produced everything and mixed everything myself for these. And it was just kind of that extra time with quarantine. And I have my studio over at Bedrock LA in Echo Park, and I like just skate from my house to the studio most days, and that's like kind of my life. And I ended up just doing this EP. I had the concept and it came together, and but yeah, definitely like really felt like wintry themed. So I was like, let's put this out before Christmas. Like, and the cool thing too is I just finished it. I think I just finished it at the end of November, and then we like set it for release in December, which I really like, because sometimes it's frustrating, like sit on releases and sit on music. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You went through all this time and effort to kind of make these alternate versions to do live. And you you probably got a totally different reception for that type of sound, and might as well share that with everybody now that you already did the work to, create these.
That's another conversation I've been having with like another friend of mine who is an amazing mix engineer. And he was saying, like, his name's Nathan Phillips, and he was saying, he's like, I feel like the future of like artistry in the music world is like an artist finishing their newest thing and being like, this is me, this represents me now, like so well, let's put this out like in a couple weeks, you know, and just because it's like the excitement kind of stays, and you know, and it's like a representation. At least on the artist end, you feel like you're represented very clearly. So yeah, that was kind of the concept for that too. I was like, I'm done with this. Like, this is fun. Like, I had a blast doing this, and let's put it out. And it's kind of like hinting back at our album, because we, there are these like reimagined versions. I was trying to think of like what I wanted to say, like revamped. I couldn't say stripped because it wasn't completely stripped down, you know. I like definitely like I got crazy with production just because I'm obsessed with producing and experimenting with all these different sounds and stuff. So yeah, it just kind of became this whole thing, this whole concept. And on our album cover, we have like this picture of like white roses, and I worked with this artist who does really cool portrait pieces of like floral work, and I was like, can we do something like what you do here but with like a white rose? And so it just fit the concept perfectly. And so it all came together really smoothly, I would say.
Yeah, it's a cool cover. I like the cover. And I think it's so true what you say about, you know, being able to release something kind of soon after you complete it. Because I've seen artists and talked to artists, like if you record something and you sit on it too long, no matter how good you felt about it, there's possibility that you'll feel like that's not you anymore a year or two later, or however long it may take you to release it. And then you just kind of, the enthusiasm to share it is a little bit dampened, because, you know, that's not exactly who you are. So releasing music, you know, finding a way to release it promptly after you are finished with it, I think is something that is a good idea if possible. It's not always possible, but so you got to kind of re-release this time capsule that was you transitioning from San Diego to Los Angeles, but kind of through the filter of the now Max, who has lived in Los Angeles and has been doing this at another level for a few years now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So
it's great to have. I think it's like, it's interesting. December is not supposed to be the best time to like release music, but I was like, no, let's do this. Like this
right.
feels like the holidays to me. This feels like, and so we just went for it. And if you don't have a label, it's like, I mean, there's a recommended amount of time that distributors and stuff say to wait before putting up, you know, time ahead.
Right.
But like you can drop anything whenever. Some of these like distributors will put up the song next day if they really want to, which is like a big thing that like rappers do and stuff like that. So there's no like rules, I think, anymore on like the way people are supposed to do something. It's just all directed back to the content.
Sure.
And how people react to it. So
and if there was ever a year to not care about the usual structure of like the industry or whatever, it'd be 2020, right? It's like usually they're like, oh, you know, fall's good because people are, I don't know. Actually, I don't know what they say, but I think fall is usually a popular release time, maybe because kids are getting back into school and that's like a good way to, you know, spread music. But yeah, they always say December is like a weird month because you got to compete with the holidays and Mariah Carey on the radio.
yeah, I got to compete with Mariah Carey.
Exactly. but it was interesting because, like I said, you and I hung out a couple weeks ago and you were telling me about these other projects, Braj Mahal and Urchin, which are kind of lo-fi projects. And I listened to them since then and they're super cool. And you actually are getting, you know, a lot of traction with these projects. You were telling me a little bit about just kind of the enthusiasm behind lo-fi music and how that's made it kind of easy for you to get attention for these projects. So tell us a little bit about Braj Mahal and Urchin.
Yeah, I think I feel like lo-fi, and when I say lo-fi, you know, there's all different kind of facets of lo-fi, but it, particularly this is like lo-fi beats stuff that I got into, which of those the listenership that don't know what that is, it's essentially, it's like music designed for what I feel like is freelance work or studying or whatever you're doing that requires a certain amount of brain capacity, or maybe even necessarily, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, like calming down. Like there's a lot of like calm, like stress-free sort of playlists. And
right.
For that reason, I think it was so natural for me to be like, whoa, this is like music that's like designed for people to relax. Like, and it's kind of this like up and coming world that I think is like this little community that's just, it's going to get, it's been around for years. I think it's been around for a while, but I think it's going to be like a mainstream thing before we know it. And because right now it feels very underground and very cool, but at the same time, the amount of listenership of people listening to this music and just the overall like acceptance and like immediate like love for this style of music is getting up there with like your pop mainstream world and like, you know, wherever the majority of listenership is. And so in essence, it's music that like a lot of people don't feature vocals, but for me as a vocalist, I love featuring vocals. It's just I have to put them in this kind of like digestible capsule to where it's not too distracting from like what you're doing. And it's a lot of constructing the sound, and like you want the room sound, you want like your acoustic guitar to sound like it's in a living room and the mic's across the room, and you want like the bathroom sound, and you want the like ridiculous reverb or overly compressed, you know, whatever it is. And so it kind of throws all the things that people would say about conventional mixing, like it kind of throws it upside down, because the more that you can destruct it and like destruct's not the right word, I think like break it down in a sense, and like
right, it's almost like, to me, it's like the audio equivalent of when you got a denim jacket that looks like worn down, or like you got, you know, a vinyl record that looks that aesthetically looks kind of vintage. It's almost, you know, it's like wear and tear, good wear and tear on audio almost, or something like that. To me, that's like what it felt feels like.
And it's you know, it's all based off of like hip hop rhythms, and sampling is a huge part of it. And like I said, like I got into sampling with Inspired Days a while back, and I just like fell in love with it. And so it just was became this like this type of music that I was like, oh, this like makes sense. And the two projects, I started Urchin, and that like was doing really well. We started picking up some editorial Spotify playlists, and like it got to a point where I was like, man, I have so much of this music, and like I want to release more than like a song a month or a song every 3 weeks. And so I started a second one.
It's a good problem to have.
But then I kind of like revamped, like I know I kind of made this different sound for Braj Mahal. It turned into its own thing. So it's been really fun. It's been really cool, and the community is super receptive, and I'm getting now into like the collab world a bunch, where I'm working with all these producers, and it's great to like go sit in my studio and like work with this guy who is like a furniture maker in the Netherlands that like makes beats on the weekend and like is super talented. And then, or, you know, this someone in Mexico City or, you know, like in LA here. And, that's been really cool, and that's been really new. And, so just like a ton of music is what I'll have for that, is just coming out and coming out really regularly for all of next year. So.
Yeah. I mean, I was, like I said, I was listening, you got hundreds of thousands of streams and maybe I even had over a million streams on some of this stuff you're putting out. So obviously you're getting a good reception for it. And it's interesting the way that you perceive what it's meant for, you know what I mean? Cause that makes total sense. What you hearing, oh, it's, you know, it's like when you're studying or you're doing something, you know, low key, and cause when I heard it, I feel like I was feeling like kind of like a dim, loungy kind of area playing it, you know, like a hip kind of like boutique hotel might be playing it in like a dim, like the dim area of the bar or something like that. But as you mentioned it, you know, or a cafe, like might be the happy medium between what you envision and what I envisioned.
If we could hang out in cafes anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when cafes reopen, you know, check out Urchin and Braj Mahal to those who make playlists for such places, because I think that's really cool music for it. So Max, it's been a pleasure talking to you about all your projects, but you also, besides just working on your own music, you've been doing some top line projects lately. And for those, you know, for the casual listener, top lining is basically when someone's like, hey, I got this track. Would you, you know, maybe write some lyrics, or maybe I have lyrics and could you sing? I like your voice. Could you put some vocal on top of it? Tell us a little bit about some of the things you've been doing top lining and songwriting.
Yeah. So top lining has been great, because it's been for me like just a really deep exploration of like songwriting in general. And you know, I've done that with Inspired and Sleep, and I've done that with the band thing so much. But this is really cool, because it's like I almost like giving up the responsibility of having to think or concern myself with like the instrumental or whatever, and just leave it up to someone else with a completely different interpretation and do all these different styles of music. And I've done a bunch of like dance music, which like I've never seriously produced like dance music, but it's really been really, really cool to be a collaborative artist with these producers, and same kind of thing. They're from all over the world, you know, I think the thing with that is I was like, at one point I realized like, man, I could write a song over anything. It wouldn't necessarily be a good song, you know, like it, whatever it is. But like, if I like hear something and I'm like really vibe with it, and the producer's got a good sense of like harmony going on, I, you know, I've found that I can, like, I tend to do like some of my best work and write some of the best songs that I think I've ever written. So it's been really cool. And that's all going to be under Max Green. I do have like a whole, I have artist music done for that project that I've been probably working the hardest on of anything that I've done in the last few years. But for now, I've only released like collabs to where I'm a top liner. And there's some really, really, really cool ones coming up in early 2021 that I'm super stoked about, and some cool labels that I'm working with. But yeah, in essence, it's like I get these songs delivered, and you know, when I'm feeling it, I like jump in the studio and do my thing and write this song. And you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to hit. But I think what I was saying earlier, that if it's a track, or if it's a song that's like approached in like a unique way and I really vibe it with it, then it tends to, like, I tend to write a better song, at least in my opinion. And so yeah, I've got a lot of that coming out next year as well. So just another one of the artist projects for me, but they're all kind of like in their separate vein, you know, they all sit in their own place.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
super excited.
It's interesting, because I've heard that before from other artists who may be kind of like front men or songwriters for their own projects, where they'll maybe join another band just as a drummer or just as a guitarist. And they're like, it's kind of liberating just having like one role in this, you know, like I don't have to worry about the other stuff. And maybe even to a certain extent, I don't know, for these particular projects that you've been working on, but maybe you don't have to stress as much about the promotion for it or you know, all that stuff, because it's maybe someone else's thing. You know, you were just lending your voice to this. So of course you'd probably want to share it when you could, but you wouldn't be ultimately responsible for, you know, the outcome of how it's received or getting it out there. So I could see that, but
it's a whole different world too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, totally different mindset. You know, you just coming in and you're kind of like, you're like a hired gun.
Yeah. Well, in essence, like I think with some recent contracts and stuff, I've been thinking I would like to be more of a collaborative artist than a hired gun, because just to, you know, for like artists' rights sake and stuff like that.
Sure.
But it's been amazing. It's been really, really cool. And it's been really fun to work with all these different people. And it's a cool side of what I do that I really like.
How do you, I'm asking because I'm curious, and I feel like there's probably other artists who feel similarly. Like you seem like you don't have, and maybe I'm wrong, but at least to a certain extent, you seem like you have a reservoir of writing ability and output. You know what I mean? You got like you said, I have so much music that I, you know, I had to create two projects in order to accommodate it. Or, yeah. or you have your own band, but then you also are doing top lining. And do you, because sometimes I feel like you might feel selfish as an artist and you're like, I really want to give the writing my all, but if it's really that good, maybe I want it to be my song, you know, and not give it to somebody else. So how do you process that? Or how do you think about those sorts of things? And do you think in those terms, or how do you frame these decisions when you're writing for other people and yourself? Do you ever write for somebody and be like, oh, I wish I wrote this for myself, or you know what I mean? Or vice versa. Maybe you're like, hey, I'm writing this song for Inspired, but this is so good, maybe I want to save it for an artist who's bigger than me, you know?
Yeah. I think like in terms of like my song and my, when I'm taking over the role as songwriter and producer as like a full, that's kind of Inspired in the Sleep for me. That's like, you know, that's what I've been doing for so long. And that's when I have complete control, which I love doing that. And I love obsessing over every little detail and getting it all honed in. And since quarantine started, I started mixing the majority of my own stuff, which has been a whole new experience. And I love that. I think there's also something to be said for like giving up some control. And so for me, that was kind of the concept behind Max Green, was like, I wanted to do something different, and I wanted to open myself up to new styles of music and stuff like that. And so the whole idea was like, I'm not the producer here, you know, and even the artist music that I mentioned, aside from Top Lines, is me working specifically with a producer that I like, was really wanted to work with. So giving up that like control of everything to be able to, in essence, just like focus on the song and the vocal performance has been a huge thing for me. And it's been really, really helpful and a big part of what I do. So, it, like in my mind, like it can, it gets kind of confusing when I'm talking to people about all the things I do, but in my mind, it like makes a lot of sense. It's like inspired like the band and me as a producer, and I like just figure this out and we make it happen live. And the Max Green stuff is separate in the sense that like it's my songwriting and stuff, but it's me collaborating and branching out, at least for the time being. And then the lo-fi stuff is like, it's so interesting because I'm so new to it. I just started really doing it this year. So that's kind of more me exploring as a producer and me really experimenting as a producer, because you have such a free range to like try these new ideas. And there's tons of things that I would do that I would never like even try on an inspired song on the instrumental. Right. So yeah, they all kind of sit in their own place for me. And I'm kind of just like putting them all out there and going to be consistently releasing with all of them and see where it takes me. So.
Yeah. I think sometimes like setting up just kind of like ideas or rules, can be liberating, you know, like Sergeant Pepper. The Beatles are like, we're going to be not the Beatles this album. We're going to be Sergeant Pepper, you know? And so you got all these different outlets. You're like, this is Max, the, you know, the guy who works with other producers, and this is Inspired in the Sleep, the producer Max. And yeah, so that makes total sense. So Max, it's been fun talking to you, man, about all your projects and getting to learn about all the stuff that you do, which is a lot of stuff. And so I'm sure we'll be talking more, but we'd like to end the interview by asking if you had one piece of advice for aspiring artists, what would it be?
Aspiring artists or aspiring producers, if you don't mind me asking, or are you asking both?
Both. Aspiring people who want to do music.
Okay. I think for aspiring producers, what I would say is probably like the biggest piece of advice is like your job is to create something from point A to point B. Like you're producing something from nothing in essence. So having like, you know, there's so many different things you could do in that world, and that's one of the great things about it. But I think where people tend to fail is when they don't create a finish point and they don't create goals and they don't set deadlines for themselves and they don't motivate themselves and then they don't make it clear what they're trying to do. So I think, yeah, like you're producing something, you're creating something. So if that's working for like an artist, you're producing another artist, you're making beats or whatever, you know, I think making these like goals for yourself of like, I'm going to have this album done by this point, even if it's like just in the demo stages, or I'm going to do a song a day, or whatever it is, doing that is like crucial to like making progress and evolving as a producer. On the artist side, I think the biggest thing is like, figuring out what you're trying to say, what you're trying to express, and like express on a universal whole of you as an artist. Like I think today, in today's day and age, like having like a sonic brand is so important. So if you can have this like branding in the message you're trying to say, people just naturally will react to it. And so really, yeah, figuring out like what it is that you represent and what you're trying to say is like a huge part of the artist side. Cause I see a lot of artists that are like, I don't know, like maybe this is me, maybe that is me. And that's great. You can always do different stuff and try different styles, but doing that kind of like soul searching and going through, if it's like an episode of your life where it's particularly hard or whatever, is all crucial to you as an artist, because it makes that message clear when it comes time to like to create something. So
for sure. So authenticity with and some consistency, but yeah, what you said about producers is so true, because I feel like that's one of the biggest hurdles that not just probably musicians, but writers, people who write anything or who are working on any project, is you want to be a completer of projects. You know, you don't want to have 100 songs that you started that were good, but you didn't, then you got bored and you moved on to the next one. Like, you got to remember that finishing it. Yeah, that finishing it is the end goal. Don't forget that, because you could, otherwise you're just playing, which is fine, but you're not going to have much output if you don't actually finish what you're doing.
Yeah. So, and I think a lot of like people that release music and do stuff in music, like, are so easy to critique themselves when it doesn't go well. And that's an important part, like going back and, you know, like putting out music and say it doesn't do anything. And then you can be like, well, how can I improve? Like, that's a huge part of it, but it shouldn't keep you from finishing your next thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's probably my biggest piece of advice in the producer world. And that's like songwriting too, though, you know, it's like, they go hand in hand.